Health is not the absence of disease. Health is balance in the body. So keep your body temperature balanced so that your immune system doesn't suddenly get compromised. So as soon as you start feeling sick, stay out of drafts, keep your feet warm, and use the essential oils, and then diet. Stay away from refined foods and sugars, because that too will affect your immune system.
This is the Gutsy Health Podcast, your go-to destination for uncomplicated, practical, and affordable tools for your wellness education with Jeannie Grover. Are you ready to become a self-healing champion? Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. I have on the show for you today, Cecilia Salveson, who also happens to be my biological mother. So, Mom, welcome to the podcast. I'll call you Cecilia just to be professional. But Cecilia Salveson, she's kind of a remarkable human because I realize I can give you like the best intro because I know so much about you. But where do I even begin though? When she had me, she got Graves' disease. She was diagnosed with Graves' disease and it almost took your life. Isn't that correct, Mom?
Yeah, I nearly died twice. So I can just tell you very briefly, when you were born, I didn't know that I had Graves' disease because it's dormant until birth and then it comes out. And I went into a health shop one day and they did my vitals and they said to me, you need to see a doctor. And I didn't take any notice. Then a very incredible thing happened. A friend of mine introduced me to his cousin, an Asian doctor. Asian doctors are amazingly intelligent. Asian people are incredibly intelligent. And he shook my hand. And just from shaking my hand, he said to me, your heartbeat, your pulse is over the roof. You need to see your doctor. And I remember driving home and looking at my hands, and it was like skin over skeleton. I had been losing weight. I was so hot. I was just eating ravenous and never satisfied.
Woof. I remember that feeling. Woof.
Yeah. And your father took me to the doctor and he said, I've known this woman for 10 years and she's not the same woman I married. She is out of character. I remember going into shops and being so scared, just staying focused because I used to black out that I would come by and I'd like, where was I? What did I do? And I was so scared. I'd go into a shop and buy something and walk out without paying. And then I'd be head up for shoplifting. And so the one day I found myself driving in an area where the crime was high. Our local newspaper had a headline that said Saturday night, 25 reported murders.
Just clarifying, you're from South Africa.
Yes.
We're South African immigrants, and South Africa has one of the highest crime rates in the world, actually. And so keep going. I just wanted to add that tidbit right there.
I remember one day driving, and again, it was that blackout. I didn't know where I was. I came to it, and I could see people staring at me, just absolutely staring. And then when I looked, I realized I was the only white person there. And I was in the middle of Claremont. I had missed my turning, driven in, and came to when I just realized people were just staring at me.
Well, and the reason why this is weird, I need to give context, not because I'm going to joke, not because my mom's a racist, but because in South Africa back in the day, this was before apartheid, or apartheid, as Americans say, there were black areas and there were white areas, right? White people didn't go into certain black areas. And this is why apartheid is so terrible, is because black areas were primarily areas that weren't of high esteem or anything like that. They were just kind of like, I put here in air quotes, the leftover areas that nobody wanted, right? And so that's why this is so unusual for you to go into a black area, because they typically had higher crime rates and it just didn't happen because black people and white people were so segregated. And so very uncharacteristic of a white woman to go into a black area all by herself.
So when your father took me to the doctor, luckily he did blood works. I didn't know blood works, which ones he were doing, But a few days later, I was loading the washing machine. It was a front loader. And as I bent down, I thought I was having a heart attack. I went to the bedroom and I said to your father, I think I'm having a heart attack. And he phoned the doctor and he said, get her to the clinic immediately. This was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was going into cardiac arrest. That was the first time I nearly died.
Graves' disease is very scary, you guys. And many of you that have listened to the podcast know I got Graves' disease as well, which is why I'm like, ugh, as you're talking about all these things, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember all of these feelings. Like Graves is very, very scary because it's like you're running a marathon, but your body can't stop. Like your resting heart rate can often be 120 to 140 beats a minute and you're laying in bed doing nothing. Like you can't die from a heart attack. That's like one of the leading causes of death amongst people with Graves' disease if it's not treated medically. So keep going.
He had gotten my blood works back and he immediately sent me to an endocrinologist. The endocrinologist, when I got there, he immediately wanted to treat me because I was so over the roof, over the top with all my figures. And I said to him, please just give me one day to find an alternative. And he gave me his phone number and his personal home phone number. He said, I don't care what time of the night it is. If anything changes with your condition, you call me immediately.
What a good doctor.
Yeah. So the next day I went from homeopath to naturopath. Everybody, they looked at my figures. They said, you are too dangerous. You're too late. We cannot treat you. Homeopathy works slowly. You don't have the time. You will have to be treated. Wow. So that very same day, they treated me with radioactive iodine, killed off my thyroid. I was then referred to another endocrinologist, and that's where things went wrong because they did not follow up with blood works.
Oh, no.
Which then plummeted me into myxedemia. So I went from one top end of the scale of being over the top with
super hyperthyroid,
hyperthyroidism, to extreme hypo with a myxedema.
Wow.
And then
so you have no thyroid hormone, like nothing. No one gave you medication, nothing.
That's where I nearly died the second time because my hair started falling out. I couldn't walk. We had 16 steps going up to our house. I would do 4 steps, sit and rest. 4 steps, aww, sit and rest. Your brother, you were a baby at the time, and your brother, who was a toddler, I couldn't even scramble eggs. I couldn't, we had money because I couldn't write checks. I couldn't even sign my name. I couldn't lift my arms higher than my shoulders to wash
them. That's so sad.
Falling out. I tried to make him scrambled eggs, and the eggs, every time I tried to hold and crack an egg, it fell out of my hands. The fifth one, I managed to get into a bowl and slightly just scramble it and
cook
it. And I put it on the window ledge to cool down and it fell over. Luckily, we had paved backyard. I just went out and scraped it up. I just scraped it up and fed him. I couldn't do anything else.
That's so sad.
Our telephone, there were no cell phones in those days. Our telephone was across from in the sitting room, what we call a lounge. Every time the phone rang, I got up to answer it, I'd black out. And then the one morning, your father, when I tried to get up and I blacked out, he said to me, I can't go to work and leave you. I can't leave you like this. And I went to the toilet and I just urinated blood, just pure blood.
Oh my gosh.
And your father immediately took me to the doctor. They did emergency blood works and admitted me into hospital. I was put into a room.
Wow.
Shut the curtains. There was no noise. Nobody was allowed to come and see me. The doctor said to me, you had 45 minutes to live.
That's unbelievable.
Only your father was allowed to see me. I was in that room for 6 days on an intravenous drip.
I can't believe that. Such negligence, right? Of not following up or just, that makes me so angry. I'm glad you're here today, obviously. And that led you to one, you got better, correct? And then you started pursuing alternative health.
Yes. Because when I said to the doctor, what caused this? He says, nobody knows. We don't know. It's just something that happens. And like you, I went down rabbit holes and I did research. I started reading a book written on the endocrine system by an endocrinologist.
As one typically does, right? Just read an endocrinologist book. Casually picks one up from the library.
Well, it was verified by 12 endocrinologists. So it was a very highly respected book. And this is where I said to the doctor, in this book, they say that for a few days, you shouldn't be near your children for so many hours. And I said, you never told me anything. And he said, oh, the Americans are over the top. And I said, my baby slept in my arms. That was you. I said, my baby slept in my arms. You never told me. And then I started looking further. So I took all my medicine because it affected me so badly. Took it back to the doctor and I said, I'm giving this back to you because I am going to look for alternative methods of getting better. And he said to me, you'll be back. And it is
several decades later.
Yeah, it's more than 3.5 decades later, and I've never been back. I went on to find the alternative. I did a diet that saved my life.
While taking thyroid medication, right? You didn't come off your thyroid medication, obviously. I just want to make that really clear. She wasn't like, oh, I'm going to treat my thyroids, because your thyroid's now dead. So you kept taking thyroid medication, but you were on other medications to manage other symptoms. Those ones you gave back and you changed your diet. It's funny because that's what led you to becoming the person that you are. And a lot of people don't know this, but my mom, she became a practitioner of complementary medicine, which is the equivalent of a homeopath in South Africa, right? But she not only became that, she created a college to train other homeopathic complementary modalities to people. And it was the largest school of its kind on the African continent. But the funniest part of this story, I mean, it's remarkable what you've done, Mom. You helped write laws for the standard of this education, as well as have the college. The funny thing is that this college was attached to our house. We lived in like 10%, like you built this massive college off of the house. And so there were always students coming in and out because our living room turned into an office. And then our rooms were like kind of in the back, so no one would go back there. But I remember frequently just sharing my house with students all the time as they're coming in to like pick up their exams or pick up their textbooks, or, you know, like our front lawn got completely destroyed and turned into a parking lot, you know, which made me sad. I don't think you know this, but I love to roll down that bank of grass. And then you turned it into just concrete.
Well, it made me very sad. You put in truckloads of soil and built this enormous wall to make it. And we built a college. And the reason I did that was I didn't want to leave you and your brother.
I know. I think that's funny.
I worked basically from home. I did a lecture from schools. There were schools where I rented classroom space, but the weekend staff, the weekend students came. And so, yes, it turned into a huge college.
It's remarkable that your disease, your illness, like turned you into who you are. And that's basically what this platform is all about, is primarily women listening to the podcast who are dealing with health issues and are sometimes feeling like, I will never find answers. I will never heal. And you not only found answers and did like a complete 180, but you turned into this kick-ass woman who became a practitioner of complementary medicine and started this school and taught thousands of students and wrote books and curriculums and rules and laws around it. And so to all the moms, stay-at-home moms or women or whoever who feels like, oh, I have to be a medical doctor in order to even be a player in this game of my health, you absolutely do not have to, right? You can literally, then I put in air quotes, check out a book on endocrinology and teach yourself, or listen to podcasts or read books about it and become your own self-healer. And so I want to kind of segue into our topic today, because part of your curriculum of being a practitioner of complementary medicine was educating your students on aromatherapy. Since we moved to the United States, you created your own aromatherapy line in South Africa, and you taught all of your students about aromatherapy. And it was like a two-year curriculum on aromatherapy, a curriculum that you created. So you not only taught them that, but you also created your own products and your own line of essential oils. And then when you came to the United States, you did the exact same thing. And so we'll talk about that towards the end of the episode. But what I want to bring to everyone's knowledge for this episode is how to utilize essential oils during the winter months, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but ever since COVID, I feel like viruses and infections are more violent and more aggressive than I've ever seen it in the history of my entire life. So, and not only that, but before, kids would get sick for a few days, they would go back to school and it'd be months before they got sick again. But what I'm seeing now is that kids are getting sick for weeks, and it's just being passed from them to sibling, back to them, back to sibling. Kids are just getting sick in this like merry-go-round of illness over and over and over again. And it's hitting them really, really hard, right? Where fevers are so high. Like, it's not uncommon to have your kids hit a 104 fever now, whereas before that was extremely rare. And so what I wanted to bring Cecilia on the episode today on the podcast is to help educate us and empower us with aromatherapy tools to help combat these very aggressive viral seasons where, again, I think COVID is like the one virus that rules them all, you know, and I'm joking. If anybody knows Lord of the Rings, it's the one ring to rule them all. I say COVID is the one virus to rule them all. It's like the king virus that has like woken up all the other viruses, and everything's more aggressive now and more violent on the body. And so, but we don't have to be sitting ducks. We don't have to be like, well, it's just going to be a really crappy few months. Just grin and bear it. Or go to the hospital. I want Cecilia to, one, teach us about aromatherapy and then specific types of essential oils and how we can use them to put in our toolkit to help us combat these things, because it really can make a difference, right? So that brings me to my first question. Tell everybody, for those that are very new to essential oils, I don't think too many listeners are new to essential oils, but why are essential oils so potent, and what makes them potent and effective?
All right. I'm actually glad that we are doing this, because a few years ago, I did a talk at an international conference on essential oils in Florida. And I told the people at that time, there had been big storms. And I said, the storms are going to get bigger. The new storms, these big storms we're getting, is the new norm. We're not going to go back to the small storms that we had. It's a new norm. And with the big storms, the super storms, come the super bugs. They are going, the viruses are going to get worse. But the reason I like essential oils and I like doing aromatherapy and making the products is because nature is very intelligent. And with these super storms and these super bugs, nature strengthens itself, because it cannot be wiped out by these super storms and these super bugs, because we draw all the benefits, all the beneficial properties from the plant material. We get it from seeds and nuts, and we get it from flowers, and we get it from grass. It's steam distilled mostly. Essential oils indicate that it is steam distilled plant material. Some of them, like the citrus oils, are cold pressed. They're also going on now to percolating and other extractions, but mostly it's steam distilled. And these are incredibly potent. They're very potent. So we actually get the life force of the plant. Plants have to protect themselves. They have to protect themselves against fungus and mold and viruses. And what we are doing is tapping into the plant force and using their strength to help us. And that's why it is so effective. Because if you know how to formulate, and that's what I used to teach my students, and I will be teaching that on my course that I'll be running soon. But if you know how to formulate and you formulate properly, you can do so many benefits. And then for winter, you mentioned winter. Do you want me to mention a few oils?
Yeah, absolutely. But before you do, I love that. I didn't even think of that. As the environments become harsher, the plants need to become more resilient. And that's why as they become more resilient, they become more effective and more protective for themselves and therefore for our bodies.
Yes.
And because they have to have those built-in defense mechanisms. And so why not piggyback off of their intelligence, right? And their adaptability and use that for our own body's causes. And so that's really cool. I just wanted to repeat that because I hope everyone picked that piece up.
Now, what makes the essential oils so powerful? It's not a magic potion at all. They have chemical constituents, and these chemical constituents is what gives them their fragrance. This is why you can distinguish like citrus oils to flower oils to tree oils. Those chemical constituents is what makes them antiseptic, antiviral, anti-inflammatory, and soothing and calming. And we draw all of that and we can tap into it and use it. And if you apply it correctly, if you mix and match it correctly, you have got so much you can work with that I have seen in the more than 35 years I've been in clinic, I have seen amazing results.
Well, and from what I understand from essential oils is those chemical constituents provoke reactions in the body because they're highly concentrated. Is that correct? And so it's that provocation that is the medicine. Is that correct?
When you kill the fungus or you kill the parasites or you kill the mold or the infection or the bacteria, you then boost your immune system. Then the body can use its natural healing potential to heal itself.
I love that. So now it's winter season, right? What are some essential oils that we absolutely, absolutely should have on our shelves in our medicine cabinets at all times?
Well, the oils that are strong, they are the tree oils. The tree oils are your tea tree and your camphor and your eucalyptus, your frankincense. And these are all very good for respiratory situations. For throat infections, your thyme and sage and rosemary and oregano. Oregano is one of the strong antibacteria.
Oregano is wonderful.
And antibiotic oil out there. And so these oils are very valuable and they're not expensive, but you do need to know how to use them because there's some oils you do not use on babies or children of certain ages. In my book, I actually have a chart where I give oils to avoid in pregnancy and early stages of babies, 0 to 3 months and 3 months onwards, and children by age and weight, because a 7-year-old child can be big and a 12-year-old can be small and thin. So all of these factors are important, but your tree oils in general, excellent for respiratory conditions.
Amazing. You mentioned a few of them. As far as utilization, let's talk about taking things orally versus topically and diluting them with carrier oils, right? Or diffusing them into the air. What is the best method of use for these plant therapies?
Okay, that's a good question, Janique, because there are oils that you can diffuse. Any oil can be diffused around babies or pregnant women. There are more toxins outside when you're in your car on the road than in these essential oils. So oils can be diffused. There's no do not diffuse when pregnant, do not blah, blah. The other way, what was your other question that you asked?
So we can diffuse them. Can we take them orally? Do we do it topically? Like how do we dilute them in carrier oils?
So for instance, you have to know which oils can be used internally and which shouldn't. Because in the food industry, if you look at a chart like that, A small percentage is used in perfumery, another percentage in cleaning materials, a big percentage in the food industry, a small percentage in aromatherapy, and so forth. So yes, we eat more oils than we actually know because there's a lot used in the food industry, except if they go chemical. If they break away from the natural and go cheap with chemicals, you've got to be careful of that as well. But one of the rules, and I stick very much to the laws that I learned in South Africa, and that's we're not allowed to diagnose. I cannot tell anybody to take an essential oil internally. So when people come and ask me, can I take this oil internally? I will say to them, if it was me or my family, I would. This oil, I definitely wouldn't. That oil, I would. But because I don't know their personal medical history, or I don't know their condition, I don't know what their digestive system state is, I'm very careful in saying to people, take oils internally. There are too many companies that just say, use the oils, because the more they use, the more they sell. And it's very much a marketing thing. Whereas I come from a therapeutic background, so for me, it's a lot more clinical based. So I follow that law of not prescribing and making people realize that they must know their systems and which oils. For instance, Kajaput, the tree oils, very good for respiratory, as I mentioned. Kajaput, I would never take internally because it causes internal bleeding. So you have to know. Nutmeg, I would never overuse nutmeg. I've had an experience with, she came to my college to learn more because she'd read in a magazine about nutmeg being good for the nervous system. She overused it so much that she was in a wheelchair for a year.
Oh my goodness.
So you have to be careful. You've got to know your oils, which oils are safe, and you've got to know your body, what's going on with your body.
So as a rule of thumb, don't take them internally, especially undiluted. We can diffuse them. That's totally fine. You know, what's interesting is a few years ago, I recommended online just one diffusing your blend, which one's the fall one? Wonderful. What's the fall blend that you guys have?
Okay. I know which one you mean. Yes.
So you have this fall blend, and because it has like cinnamon in it, and I think another antiviral one. I told everyone, just diffuse this in your home all day, especially when kids come home. Get like a non-fragranced hand soap and put multiple drops of essential oil in that. So when your kids are washing their hands, it's antiviral, antibacterial because of the essential oils. And I had so many women message me and they're like, this is the best season of illness for my family. And I swear it's because we're diffusing essential oils every day and we're using it in our hand soaps. And it really is. It helps to just kind of disinfect the air. And then you're inhaling it in your lungs. And so it's kind of like disinfecting your lungs, but at very low doses too. Like it doesn't take a lot because they're so highly concentrated.
Yes.
This is another thing that I personally like to do. And you can add to this or you can say, don't do it. But I like to diffuse my essential oils with colloidal silver as well. So that there's colloidal silver in the air, just kind of disinfecting the air as well. And so what are your thoughts on that?
I want to tell you, when you were little, you were so cute. Oh my goodness. When we traveled, I took lavender and tea tree because if you had a scrape or a scratch or a bite or sting or something, it was lavender. Tea tree was my medicine oil. If you guys were sick, I knew how much to give you and how often, but that was my medicine oil. And then I used it to disinfect. I used to disinfect the bath and the basin and the toilet.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my gosh. Like hotels always smelled like tea tree because you were cleaning everything with tea tree.
And then you also use tea tree on your toothbrush mixed with other things. You were 7 years old and your friend had a birthday. And I said, come, we've got to go and buy her a gift. And you said, Mom, can I give her tea tree? And she wouldn't know what to do with it. It's not a gift I want to give to a 7-year-old.
That's hilarious.
We were so cute.
So orally, don't take it orally. Diffusing, okay. How about rubbing it on our bodies?
Oh, yes. Now, the most effective way of applying essential oils is you apply it to the area that needs treating. You can always apply it to your feet as well, because your feet is the point of return of blood back to the heart. You can, but if you've got a sore throat, apply it to your throat. If you have a headache, apply it to the forehead, the back of the neck, the temples, even on the wrists. If you have digestive problems, apply it to the abdominal area. If you have chest there, if you have muscle ache, apply it to the location where the discomfort is of joint or muscle or anything like that. There is a thing where people have come to me and they have said, oh, apply it to your belly button because the belly button will take it to the body. No, the belly button scar tissue. When the mother is pregnant, the arteries, there's an artery that leads to the liver and there's an arterial network that leads to the bladder. Those vessels, blood vessels, after birth, they become, it's like a tendon because there's nothing there. It's scar tissue. You are much better putting it on the actual area. So if you have abdominal issues, when you massage it into abdominal area, you'll get your lymph going, you'll get your nervous system going, you'll unblock that, you'll get circulation going. The belly button is just scar tissue. We worked on cadavers at college, and when you lift this up, there's nothing but scar tissue behind the belly button. It was active.
If you guys didn't understand that, she meant cadavers with an accent, which are real human bodies that you get to study.
Yes. And I've got to tell you, when I went to college, when I studied complementary medicine, the first day I came back, and again, you were still little, you said to me, so mommy, who did you play with?
Oh, that's so cute. So if people had to pick three essential oils to be antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, to equip them against the flu season, what would those essential oils be?
All right. So let me explain this to you. If you choose one essential oil, all right, I always choose 3, 4, or 5 oils. I like to choose 5 oils. The reason is if you have one oil, it's like a piece of string. But when you have a few oils and you knit them together, you blend them together, you get a rope. So you get a much better synergistic blend. And so I would choose for the chest, for instance, for winter and sore throat, I would definitely choose an oil like eucalyptus or tea tree, or even eucalyptus and tea tree. Thyme for the throat. Thyme is excellent. Oregano as an antibiotic. And oregano you can actually take internally. And then,
do you have to be careful with oregano though? Like, can it burn the stomach lining?
You always have to be careful. This is why I don't like to tell people take that or take so much, because sometimes people just do too much.
When you said that, I'm like, let's put some parameters on that comment.
All right, let's do that.
So they can have oregano, but just not take it internally.
Yeah. So what I would recommend is tea tree or eucalyptus or both. I would recommend for a sore throat, the thyme, and for as an antibiotic, the oregano, and I would use lemon as an antiseptic, and that would make an excellent blend.
For a winter kind of wellness pack.
Yeah.
Do you guys still have your winter wellness packages at Honestly Essential?
Yes. And I also have the chest balm. The chest balm is formulated with a lot of oils. It's based on an Ayurvedic remedy, and it's very effective and very good for the chest. And I can see Daddy with baby behind you
in the background. I know. Surprised you can't hear him screaming too. So you've mentioned a few essential oils to blend about 3 per illness. Let's get really specific. If someone has a viral infection where they have fever and they're lethargic and their body is aching, which essential oils would they use and how would they use it? Let's say for an adult and a child, and how often could they use that blend?
All right. So for an adult, let's do that first and cover the aching and the pain. Clove is amazing for pain, whether, you know, in the olden days, they used it for toothache.
Yeah.
But for muscle and joint and even period pains, it doesn't matter what it is. It's also very high as an antiseptic and an antiviral. When they cut the cloves down on an island, it was ravished with viral infections. But besides that, it's in the history. I would use now the oils, they start with an adult and then I'll go on to a child. So you want for a muscle ache, I would use the clove. And for a viral, the antiviral, again, your tea tree, your thyme, those are very, very strong.
So either or, not both, correct?
Depending, if you want to do 3 or 5 oils, if you use them both, I would rather use them both. Yes.
Oh, just like if they have a flu, if they have flu symptoms that they're achy, they're sick, they're lethargic, and their fever is high, you would use those thyme, tea tree, clove, oregano.
Yes.
Did you say oregano?
Yes.
Oregano. You'd mix those all together and then rub it where? Like on their throat, on their neck, under their armpits for the lymphatic?
Yes.
Where would you rub it? On their feet?
And the abdominal and the feet. You always go to where the problem is. So if they've got it respiratory, put it front and back. Don't forget the back. If they have got the pain, if it's abdominal, put it there. If it's joint and muscle, put it there, because flu can sometimes just make your muscles ache too. And the way you would do it is don't use more than 5 drops per teaspoon. So this is for an
5 drops of not each essential oil, just all the essential oils, right?
Yeah.
So you take a teaspoon of coconut oil and then put, let's say you're using 5 different essential oils, you'd do 1 drop of each essential oil, correct?
Yes. If you make a synergistic blend, then you put 5 drops. Don't ever use more than 1 drop per 1 milliliter. So a teaspoon is 5 milliliters.
So let me just clarify. So 1 drop of carrier oil with 1 drop of essential oil. And what we mean by carrier oil is it just dilutes the essential oil, because the essential oils undiluted can burn the skin.
Yes.
So if you were taking the oregano and the tea tree and all the ones that Cecilia mentioned, and you put them directly on the skin, it would burn the skin. So what she's saying is you have to dilute it with a coconut oil or an olive oil, and we can talk about carrier oils next and which ones are the best for wintertime. But that's what she's saying, is 1 drop of essential oil to 1 milliliter of carrier oil.
Never more than that. And for children, you would go a half. You would put, if it's a younger child, you'll put 2 to 3 drops.
Per 5 milliliters of carrier oil.
If they are puberty age, if they're 12 onwards, they can go 4 drops, and adults, they can go 5 drops. That is very strong. If you're working with somebody with sensitive skin or an aged person, then just do half the drops. Now, you can't do 2.5 drops, so do 3 drops. 3 drops to 5 milliliters of carrier oil.
Beautiful. Okay, so we've covered flu. What if someone has a cough?
The cough, I have a blend called Inhale. And that inhale put with a cup of hot water and then inhale opens up the sinuses, disinfects the throat and the chest, and helps with the coughing as well. For a cough, you would want to put it on the throat and the chest. Again, don't forget the back of the chest. But the thyme, rosemary, thyme, and sage. And you know, Simon and Garfunkel, they weren't very far wrong with their song of rosemary, sage, and thyme. But those oils are very good for colds and flus and coughs. They are excellent.
Beautiful. Okay, so we've covered viruses with achy body. We've covered the coughs. What about little babies? How young can they be before we can start using essential oils? Diffusing essential oils is fine. But I know, like with Theo right now, like I can't put essential oils on him because he's too young. He's almost 3 months. So what is the youngest that we can do for little babies? How can we protect the babies, Mom? How can we do that?
There's one thing that really, really gets me. And that is when babies are born and they take peppermint oil and they put it undiluted on the spine because it's going to increase the immune system. No, You do not use peppermint oil undiluted, and never, never on babies, newborn babies, or put it in the water for birthing. You just don't do that. Babies 3 months and older, but under 3 months, I never use essential oils on babies. And let me tell you why. A few years ago, I haven't got updated percentages, but 84% of babies are born jaundiced. And they are jaundiced because when their red blood cells reach 28 days, it gets recycled. And it's recycled by the spleen and the liver. And when the liver is still too immature to cope with their own red blood cells, how on earth are they going to cope with pure essential oils?
Which are primarily metabolized in the liver.
Yeah, they can't because they're just too little. They just can't do it. And so the only time I would use essential oils on babies a little bit is if they have a very bad diaper rash. I have a diaper cream that they can put on the baby's bottoms. That will help with the diaper rash. But otherwise, I wouldn't. If a baby is incredibly sick, a lemon essential oil is very good as an antiseptic, and you can put a little bit in their bath, or you can diffuse it by them. And if there is really a problem, one mom phoned me and she was in a panic. She said, I've got to get something on my baby's chest. And I said, take one drop of lemon oil and dilute it in a teaspoon of carrier oil and apply it to the chest. And she phoned me back. She said, you cannot believe how well it worked. You do it as a medicine, not just, this is a good idea. This will relax them. This, they will sleep. You know, this is amazing.
Yeah. As far as diffusing essential oils, that's safe, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So if baby is sick, we're diffusing the eucalyptus and all that jazz for that. Like the things that you've mentioned putting on the body, could we diffuse those as well? Like all those blends that you mentioned before?
Yes. And I have a wide range of blends for different conditions.
That's what I wanted to ask next. If people don't want to think about it and they just want it pre-blended already, what would be the winter wellness blends that you would recommend people purchase from Honestly Essential? And I also want to put a plug in for Honestly Essential. Your guys' essential oils are organic and they're super high quality and so reasonably priced because it's going straight from you guys to consumers and not through an MLM downline or something like that. I think there's this fallacy of like the more expensive the essential oil, the higher quality and purity it is. And that's just not true, right? They're all just different. And so you don't have to pay a premium price to get slightly different chemical constituents of the same essential oil.
Right. That's why I will never be rich because I don't mark my things up. So I make it very affordable to every single person out there. And at the moment, there is a 20% discount till the end of the month that the podcast is aired. But I have for winter, there is the inhale, which is excellent for inhale. And it's also good for children. That blend is good for children and it doesn't matter from toddler up how old they are, as long as you use 3 drops to a teaspoon of carrier oil and adults 5 drops. But that inhale is for inhalations to clear the sinus and the throat and the lungs. Then there's the chest aid, which is stronger. And I would not use that on little kids. Use the inhale, but the chest aid is excellent. It's also the viral aid, which is fantastic to apply for any kind of virus that you have. And then we have the relief aid for pain. When there's always pain involved, you have a headache. With illness, you get dehydrated. So headaches are also very common. Headache is a symptom you can get from a common cold to cancer. Headaches is just one of those body languages. The relief aid is excellent for pain. And then I have the relief cream, that's for adults as well, which is amazing. It's cayenne pepper and menthol crystals, and it has turmeric and black pepper and clove and peppermint, and it's just amazing for pain relief as well.
You mentioned the inhale. So when people are congested or they're coughing or something, and it's all in their head, right? And it's in their respiratory. Can you teach people the technique of like boiling a mug of water, like hot water where it's steaming, and then putting drops of inhale in it? Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm just going to use this glass just as a demonstration, but you need hot water. It doesn't have to be boiling. As long as there's steam coming up, you have hot water and you'll put 5 drops in there. Close your eyes because it'll burn your eyes, and then cup your hands over it. And then once you've cupped your hands and you inhale, turn your head and exhale. Otherwise, you blow the vapors away.
Are you inhaling through your mouth or your nose?
Alternate, and then the mouth. And you inhale and exhale. So you alternate mouth, nose, because from here with the olfactory nerves, it takes it right into the sinuses. And then with the mouth, it takes it down into the lungs.
So I want to warn people, if you do this, you're going to be coughing and sneezing and being uncomfortable for about 5 minutes. But that's because it's clearing everything, right? It's like pushing everything out. So just to recap, so you take a mug of boiling water that's steaming, and you take the inhale and you put how many drops again?
5 drops, but it doesn't have to be boiling. It just has to be hot with steam.
With steam. Okay. So you have to have steaming mug of water. Put 5 drops of the inhale, and then you cup your hands over to keep all the steam in so that when you inhale through your mouth and then you exhale through your nose. Is that correct?
No, through your mouth. You exhale through your mouth.
So inhale through your mouth. And then turn your head and exhale through your mouth, and then come back, inhale through your nose, and then exhale through your nose, but away from the mug, and then go back to your mouth, inhale, and then exhale, then to your nose, inhale and exhale. And you'll cough and you'll sneeze and you'll cough some more and your eyes will water and you'll think you're dying for a hot second, but it can be really, really effective. How many times a day can someone do this if they're really ill? Like 3 times a day?
3 times a day. And they can exhale through their mouth. Even if they inhale, they can exhale through their mouth. As long as they inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth, inhale through the mouth, exhale through the mouth. But if they can't do it, they are at work, as long as they do it morning and night. But when possible, it's like taking medicine 3 times a day, then do it morning, midday, and evening.
So we can empower ourselves by diffusing, by adding essential oil blends to our soaps, by adding them to our body, by inhaling them, like this method that you mentioned. What have we missed so far?
You can even put essential oils into a bath and just lie there and let the steam, and you'll be inhaling it and you will be taking some in. But you run your bath water first, and then you put the essential oils, disperse it very well, and just soak in the bath.
I love that. And I also highly recommend adding some Epsom salts or magnesium salt to your bath, because that can really help to rehydrate your body as well as detoxify. I think salt baths are some of the cheapest ways to detox your body. And this is a great way, if you're sick, to help your body just kind of get the lymphatic moving and get any kind of stagnant energy moving as well. And then adding those essential oils as well can be really, really beneficial. Do we want to touch on just quickly oral ingestion of essential oils? Is just a big no-no. You're like, nope, don't even touch that. Don't even go there, because it can be very irresponsible. Is that correct? Because I know a lot of people are going to ask, because everybody wants to put everything in their mouth. They think it's more effective. So let me ask this. Is it more effective taking it orally than it is putting it on topically?
You know, topically has always worked extremely well for me. I've had a client that had such a bad chest infection, and then he applied it front and back, and he brought these 2 x-rays to the clinic. The one you could see the infection, the other one it was clear, except for one spot on the back of his lungs where he couldn't reach. He couldn't get his arm there, and there was a little spot he couldn't reach.
But
the education is great. And the reason I will not step out of my box and go into the illegal limits of advising people to take, because do people drink 1 beer or 6 beers? Will they take it? Some people take it much further. I don't know. I don't have the medical history of that person. I don't know what their insides look like.
Or what their liver function is like, right?
Exactly. What their kidneys are like. I had a client once who did autopsies, who said to me, Cecilia, you will not believe the liver damage we see from ingesting essential oils.
How did they know it was from essential oils?
People who do autopsies know. They do tests and they know.
That's crazy. That's really cool. Okay, so any other words of wisdom for entering the winter season that you want people to make sure they know or understand as far as arming themselves with essential oils go?
Yes. As soon as you get your first symptom, start introducing the essential oils. With the first sneeze you get, the first, just even if just one little drop runs from your nose, know you're going to get very sick. Do your inhalations, apply it in the back of your neck, apply it even here, not undiluted, but apply it when you've applied the oil, and then always just do it here by the nostrils.
For those that are listening and not watching, she's rubbing the ends of her nostrils, so indicating to put a little bit of the diluted essential oil on the nose area so that you're constantly inhaling it.
Yes. And then just apply it like 3 times a day. Put it on your feet. Put socks on. Keep your chest warm. Don't let your body temperature go out of balance. When people say to me, what is health? Health is balance. The whole body works on balance. If your blood pressure is too high or too low, there's a problem. Same with blood sugar. Same with cholesterol. Same with body temperature, hypothermia, hypothermia. So health is not the absence of disease. Health is balance in the body. So keep your body temperature balanced so that your immune system doesn't suddenly get compromised. So as soon as you start feeling sick, stay out of drafts, keep your feet warm, and use the essential oils, and then diet. Stay away from refined foods and sugars, because that too will affect your immune system.
Here's a controversial question then, maybe not too controversial, but using essential oils preventatively versus like every day. Let's say someone's like, well, I want to be preventative and I want to use these essential oils at least once every day, like use a strong blend of clove and thyme and oregano and tea tree. Is it like, and my thoughts and my thought process, instead of using it every day where your body builds up a resistance to it, just use it for the days where you absolutely need it. So instead of using essential oils preventatively, use it, I can't use the word medicinally, but use it when you're actively ill. Is that correct? Does your body get used to essential oils and so the efficacy kind of dies off?
Absolutely, Janique, you've hit the nail on the head there, because these oils really are your natural medicines, in inverted commas. There's no illegal using that term, but they really are your natural medicines. And I would not use them just every day, because your body will get used to it. Let me tell you where I learned this in South Africa before I even got into essential oils. Where we stayed in Durban, it was a harbor city. There were so many cockroaches that used to come in with the ships. I used to have the house sprayed before I got into essential oils. And the guy told me that every 6 months they have to change their formula, because the cockroaches eventually will start eating it as a food source.
No.
Change it. Now, the same happens in the body. When I teach my essential oil course, I always tell people, if you have a formula of 5 oils, after 4 or 5 weeks, absolutely 6 weeks, you've got to take one out and put another 1 or 2 in. You've got to start changing, but not drastically. And I show them how to do that. But you do have to change. And don't just use it every day for the sake of using. I had a woman come to me one day and she said, you know, lavender used to help me for my headaches, but they don't anymore. And I said, how often do you use it? She said, every day. And I said, no, they won't anymore, because your body is now adjusted to it. It's the same. Take, for instance, smoking. The first time you inhale, you cough your heart out. And then eventually your body accepts it.
Yeah, because you can get used to that level of nicotine. And so you need more and more nicotine to get the same hit or high. So it's just like that. It's just like anything.
It will lose its efficacy if you just abuse it all the time. Definitely not. The course that we did in South Africa, and government insisted, it was called, we qualified as therapeutic aromatherapists, not just aromatherapists, because aromatherapists are the ones out there that says, oh, drink this, take this, rub this, apply this. We were therapeutic because we were clinical. We were not allowed to diagnose. I'm so set in that training that I won't step out of my box. And I had a lot of respect from the medical profession because I wouldn't step out of my box.
It's interesting because the culture of aromatherapists, or I'll use the term that you use, therapeutic aromatherapists to aromatherapists here in the United States are so different. Like when I was heavily researching aromatherapy back in the day, the language of aromatherapists in England and Australia, where there are a lot of therapeutic aromatherapists, they got really frustrated at how Americans were using essential oils because we were using them for everything and anything under the sun. And I think that's heavily influenced by MLM culture. There is different cultures around aromatherapy, and to use it, I don't want to use the word responsibly, but you don't have to use it for everything every day because your body, one, will build up a tolerance, and then two, eventually become allergic to it. There's so many people react negatively to it. And I know even you have to wear gloves when you guys are mixing your products because I've been so exposed to essential oils for the past 35 years, that too much of it you can even react to now. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I also do that for, I have a clean room, what is called a clean room. Only certain people are allowed in there. And it's part of keeping everything uncontaminated. I just want to mention, you mentioned about England. There's some courses where you go on that course and they make you take essential oils. You can't do the course without ingesting essential oils. So it doesn't mean to say, you know, if you read those books, if people come across those books and read those books, my only warning is, one, know your body. Know your body's limitations and know the essential oils, because there are chemical constituents that can do harm. Don't ingest just for the sake of ingesting.
Just because they are natural doesn't mean they're harmless. And I think people mix that up. They're like, well, it's from a plant, so therefore it won't hurt me. Well, it's like, no, these are highly concentrated chemical constituents. They can cause a lot of damage if used incorrectly. And so that's why we talk about diluting, and that's why we talk about only using them when needed, right? I don't take ibuprofen every day as a preventative for inflammation. I only take it when I have like a headache that nothing else is hitting it, or, you know, like I'm extremely, extremely ill and I need something to just help taper it down. So what you're saying is use essential oils like that, and then they'll be more effective. Tell everyone, Mom, this has been Cecilia. Sorry. To put on my professional hat. This has been really, really informative, and I hope people feel super empowered by the information that you are giving them today. So when we moved to the United States, you started up your own essential oil company again, and it is phenomenal. It's called Honestly Essential. Go to honestyessential.com. They are probably the most affordable essential oils, or one of the most affordable essential oil companies on the planet. And I say that because there's Amazon that just sells whatever it wants to sell, and we don't even know the quality of that, but that's a tangent for another day. So you're one of the most affordable essential oil companies out there with extremely high quality product. You can buy all these blends there. You mentioned a course. If somebody just wants to buy the blends from you, they can go to Honestly Essential and they don't have to think about it. They can just use the basic formulas that we spoke about.
Yes.
If somebody wants to dive in more and they want to become more of like a therapeutic aromatherapist and use essential oils and know how to mix them and know how to curate them the way that you do, there is a course that you are offering. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes. This book here, I'll just show you very quickly. You know my aromatherapy book.
A book that you wrote, by the way. You've written multiple books.
Oh, yes, I did. There's also this one book that is on nutrition, healthy lifestyle guidelines. And then there's another book that's got your picture on the front, but that's sold out, called You Become What You Eat. And then there's another one that I've written that needs to go to print. But to get back to this one, this book was approved by the South African government as my teaching manual for the course. and it covers everything. I've had so many people contact me and say, we've had to buy this book to learn this and that book to learn that and that. This book has got everything. It's got everything from beginning to end that the students studied to become therapeutic aromatherapists. And that course I'll be running again soon. And in this course, it teaches you about the essential oils, the carrier oils, the essential oils which are safe, which need to be used with caution, and which are toxic, and how to blend. The main thing is how to blend, how to mix oils. The different oils, I don't believe that you have to study and learn, oh, this oil does this, this, this. This oil does this, this, this. I have a unique technique in which I teach students a technique in knowing which oils do what without having to learn it. Once they understand the different plant materials, they'll know what they do. It's a very, very good course that people can learn to help treat their family members and friends and do with it whatever they want to do. In there, I even teach people how to make their own products as well.
That's awesome. And like such an incredible course. So incredible. If you don't want to do the course, people can just go to honestlyessential.com and purchase the book, right?
Yes. Can I tell you something from when you were...
I highly recommend doing the course though, but yes, you can.
Yes. When... with the college back home, and you were about 6-7 years old, and I used to demonstrate the child massage because we did the normal adult massage. We did pregnancy, labor, baby, child. So when it came to learning the child massage, I used you as my model. And I used to say to my students, she's going to fall asleep. So when she falls asleep, we'll just leave her. And I used to demonstrate and you were fast asleep. And then you would just sleep for the rest of the class that we had.
I would remember several times waking up and everyone was gone, right? Because they were all out for lunch. I would wake up to an empty classroom and I just get up and go back upstairs, you know, go back to my room. But I also remember on the weekends when you had your weekend classes, I would have like several friends over. I was around like 10, 11, 12. And you would say, hey, we need some volunteers for some child body massages. And all my friends would be like, me, 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 me. Right? Like they all wanted to get massages. And so we would all go downstairs and your students would work on us. They just thought it was like the coolest thing.
Yeah. You were so cute when you were little. Oh my goodness. Oh,
So as far as your course goes, is this something that is going to be taught live or can they just sign up for it whenever they want?
Well, I think that I would like to do live and then I record it. And then if people, when they can't do it, they can do it in their own time.
Awesome. So they'll have access to this course. They purchase it and then they can just watch it at their own pace in their own time.
Yes.
And where can they find this course? At honestlyessential.com?
Yep. There'll be a link on honestlyessential.com for the course with all the details.
Amazing. You know, I've loved growing up having essential oils as part as like healing protocols in our home. Like I really felt it covered so many bases. Whenever I was sick, I was never worried because I always knew like you never took us to doctors or anything because you always used essential oils, like always, always, always.
Yeah.
Right. When they do this course, will they learn a little bit more about ingesting essential oils and safe strategies and et cetera, or will that not be included?
Well, because I don't know the condition of the person using doing the course, there is a section on which I teach them to be cautious, but I will tell them what I do, oils that I would take. I do tell them that. And I say, you just need to make sure that if you do, that you know what you're doing. I can just caution them.
And I want to put in a plug for some of my favorite products that you have because you sell a lot of lotions and like your face cream, your anti-wrinkle face cream is phenomenal. And your blue serum, it's called Blue Jade. It is, it's made with like emu oil and it is the color blue because of which essential oil makes it blue? Is it the...
It's the blue tansy, which is very anti-inflammatory. Yeah.
It smells so good. And like all your products are so clean. You could literally eat them, right? They're phenomenal products. They don't have any preservatives in, and they just smell so good. I would say if you wanted to try some of her products, like the Blue Jade, her anti-wrinkle, and then her Sparkle, and the Sparkle is her teeth cleaner. You just put a few drops of this essential oil blend on your toothbrush and you brush, brush, brush.
Yeah.
Your teeth are like squeaky clean. It's absolutely my ultimate favorite. But not only that, I've had clients in the past who had to do chemotherapies and they would get oral sores, mouth sores because of the chemotherapy. And we tell them, just brush your teeth with this or rinse your mouth with this. And they would say, Janique, like, I don't have any more mouth sores anymore. It's literally like this miracle mouth rinse. And it's just essential oils with a little bit of coconut oil in it. It's really like, they're such good products that I love using them. I mean, not that I'm biased, because I'm not. They're such good products that I've had people give me like face creams that are like $200 to $300 per bottle. And I'm like, no, I'm going to stick with my face cream here that's $25, because it is so much more nourishing. It's so much more hydrating for my skin. And it's completely clean that I could eat it. That's how clean it is.
With the Sparkle, it's formulated exactly so that, because if you don't know what you're doing, you can do damage. But it's formulated exactly. And apart from keeping the teeth clean and bacteria free, it's excellent for gums. I've had four people who came to me and said they're about to lose all their teeth because of periodontitis problems. And they used the Sparkle and never lost a tooth. And then also, apart from helping with gums, it keeps the throat clear. So it kills bacteria and infection in the throat. And often I've said to people, just put 6 drops in a quarter cup of water.
And gargle.
It's enough for 2 swigs. Gargle, spit out, gargle, spit out. It is really phenomenal. That's why you wanted to give it to somebody for their 7th birthday.
I've actually done that. Like when I've been on vacation and I've gotten sick on vacation, I'm like, I have no access to, like, we're camping or something, and I've had no access to any essential oils or health food stores or anything like that to get supplements. But I take my Sparkle everywhere with me. Like that stuff is golden. And I've gargled with it to like help with like sore throat, or I've ingested it.
Yes.
No one do that though. No one ingest it. I know I've grown up with essential oils, so I know what I can and cannot handle.
Right.
But I would ingest it. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. Yes, I don't want to give people any ideas. But that's what I did. I'm not telling you to ingest the essential oil, but I ingested it to help me combat whatever I was doing. And it was literally my medicine. And it worked so, so good. So I love your products. I love your essential oils. They're always diffusing in kids' rooms with colloidal silver at our house. I'm just so grateful, Mom, that I grew up with your knowledge. I just felt really taken care of. You were just so competent. I just grew up with such a confident mom that was like, oh yeah, this is no big deal. These are the things that we're going to do. And like, what a gift that was to me and Conrad growing up. And I hope that people see the value in that knowledge and take your course so that you can be competent too. Like I sense, not that I sense, but like there is this very real culture here in America that as soon as kids are sick, parents freak out and they run to the doctor immediately. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but maybe feel a little bit more empowered over illness and trust the body and trust like natural healing modalities first. And then if that's not working, absolutely take them to the doctor, right? But I'm just so grateful that I grew up where there wasn't that fear around illness. You just taught me like illness is something that needs balance. Let's balance it out. Let's use these essential oils. Let's use these foods. Let's use these supplements. It was a really beautiful culture to grow up in. So thank you.
Thank you. Can I tell your listeners what you were like as a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old? I'll be
sure.
I'll be very quick. But you would, as a 6-year-old, tell people what to eat and not to eat. And the one day you went and played it at your friend's house diagonally across the street. And when her mother made a lunch, you said, Auntie Sharon, I don't eat junk food like that. She came to me and
so
she said, don't say anything. I just want to tell you because I think it's so funny. And then we laughed and I said to you, Janique, don't tell people you don't eat junk food like that. Just say, I don't eat food like that. So when you were 9, you went to a birthday party. And when I went to pick you up, the woman said to me, I noticed that your daughter wasn't eating. And then when I said to her, are you not going to eat anything? And she said, I don't eat food like that. And the mother said, what would you like? And you said, do you have a salad? And then she went to the fridge and she got a lettuce and onion and carrot and tomato and cucumber. And she made you a salad. And she said, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't stop looking. She said, there's this 9-year-old sitting at the table enjoying her salad as much as the other kids were enjoying the cake and candy and sodas. And she had nothing of that. And when we got in the car, I said, good girl, Johnny, good girl.
All the adults are like, who invited her for her little 9-year-old?
You were amazing because you took to school every day. You took salad to school or a mango. And you took apple cider vinegar and honey as your juice. And nobody stole your juice.
I know. Then, no one wanted to trade lunch with me.
Yeah. And then the one day you came to me and you said, Mom, the kids are teasing me at school. Can I just buy a small Kit Kat? And I promise you I won't eat it. I just want to show them. And I said to you, Johnny, you go and buy, I'm going to buy you the biggest Kit Kat I can find. You take it to school and you share it with your friends. And then they never teased you again. You did that and they never teased you again. And then one day I saw this beautiful apple and I'm like, oh, I've got to buy that for Jeanique for lunch. And I bought this apple. I couldn't wait. I picked you up from school and I said, how did you enjoy your apple? And you said, I sold it for $1 and bought a fiddler. That's one of those horrible pink candies that you got in South Africa. And oh, you were so cute.
I remember loving fizzes, actually. They were so good. Like candy, but those ones I did because they kind of like bubbled in your mouth. They were delicious. That's
funny. But I just said, good girl, good girl.
Hustling from a young age.
And one of my tricks that I did was before you and your brother went to a birthday party, I would give you a good lunch. I would make you scrambled eggs or an omelet, something that was protein and heavy in the stomach. And then when I picked you up, the mothers would say, your children didn't eat anything. They said they weren't hungry. And they'd give me this box with all your birthday junk. And I'd just go home and just toss it.
Funny. That is so funny. Well, Mom, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and teaching people about the wonderful use of essential oils. Like I said, I loved growing up with them in my house. And I hope that we can perpetuate this culture of empowering moms and empowering people to utilize other therapies in their households to help them overcome big bad bugs. So you guys, hopefully you found this episode really nourishing and informative, and we will catch you guys next week.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.